go together really well. I appreciate how Pastor Zach kind of crafted that and the words spoken by our men here. My lips will praise his name forever. For his steadfast love and his faithfulness, there is no end. Amen? And so why wouldn't I praise his name? Well, I need to. And submit. I trust when you were singing that song, there were saints of old, some of them maybe in heaven now, that were floating through your mind. Was that happening? Thinking about people that have laid it down for God. You know, in their circumstances that, I mean, it's not hard to be laid down and submitted to God when it makes sense to us, you know. But I'd say the majority of life maketh no sense, you know, to the human brain, to the concept of us forging ourselves into who Christ is and what he wants. There's a bunch of it that we can't reconcile. And I was thinking, one of the parties is a young person, young couple, that I was thinking about when I was singing that song, both services. And we prayed last Sunday for Pastor Jeremy Scott and his wife, Anouk, in Verona Baptist Church, or Memorial Baptist Church in Verona, sister church. And, you know, they're young, they have a little child, and she had pain, went in, and there was a tumor, and they took it out, and she's got future surgeries in front of her, and the doctor says that looked really bad. I mean, he said that's cancer, but we'll send it away. They get the news back this week, and it's not cancer. And the doctor said, I'm telling you what, I've taken lots of these out. When they look like that, they are cancer. I mean, like, I don't have an explanation. She's like, you don't need to give me an explanation. It's okay. And what am I celebrating in that? Well, it would be wrong not to celebrate. Thank God it's not cancer for her, right? And I certainly celebrate that. And she does. I mean, that's just intelligent, right? Submitted to God. But the part I was celebrating when I was singing was that a week ago, not knowing what the news was, she's like, you know what? This life is not mine. It's yours. Always. Your will. Your way. Even if this is the path. And I hope that as you're singing that song, that's the kind of thing you're thinking about. Because that's what should go through our head. Today's message, you know, pastors preach messages for various reasons. We'd like to think they always preach them just because God really led that. I hope that happens, okay, at our church. But sometimes we believe God's leading it because we think, man, oh man, this body needs to straighten up in a particular area. And sometimes we kind of preach that direction. And other times, I really felt led by the Lord to preach certain things, and I didn't know exactly why or how it fit with the church. But today's message comes from a different kind of angle, and it did land on my heart. I just praying for you, and by the way, with the banner going back up, some people said, are we going to finish Daniel? Yes, we are. Okay, we're coming back to that. But you got to wait one more time. I've talked to a couple people, said, I've been reading Daniel 9 every week, getting ready. I almost have it memorized, you know. So it's coming, okay, just relax. I'm still studying because I still have no idea how the book, you know, all the details. Anyway, so why am I preaching this message? I'm preaching this message because I believe our church, as I watch you among each other, I believe you are on the edge of being Olympic qualifiers in this area, if I can put it that way. I have watched you obey God in this area and produce so much good fruit that I'm like, it's beautiful. It's awesome. And I'm like, maybe if I just encourage a little more, we just take that next step, you know what I mean, of really making impact for God in this particular area. Plus, it's good to have reminder, I believe, in these areas. And so this message is about how do I speak right words? And I was thinking about the illustration, as the screen says, of a filter. You know, how is it that stuff comes in my eyes, because some words come that way, some come in the ear, some come both, and they come in my head, and they go down through my heart, and then they come out my mouth, right? The impact of those words. And I'm thinking, man, right in the middle of there, somebody needs to put some kind of bio screen, charcoal filter that takes whatever I'm bringing in, cleans it up so it doesn't pollute my heart so good could come out my mouth. And so I'm just visualizing that, and I'm thinking at my desk, like, so what is in that filter? How do we build that? So that's kind of the point of today's message. So I thought it'd be good to actually have the opportunity to have water and filter. And this message starts with the idea of this jar. And this jar, I mean, it looks pretty good, right? I'm not trying to trick you, okay? You guys are all filtering it like, what's he after? No, this is beautiful Wisconsin Rapids City water. Okay? Don't laugh. If you travel to Africa, this looks really good, okay? So this is Wisconsin Rapids City water. It's in a clean jar. My wife made sure of such kind of thing. And I just put that in there this morning, and I have no fear. No fear. I'm a little nervous about the ABF who met up here. They might have wrecked it. But I'm telling you, okay, that this is safe water. And many of the things that come in our eye gate and our ear gate, they don't need a massive filter process, right? Because they're being delivered to us like this. They're clean. They're good. They're helpful. You can wash with it. You can drink with it. You can brush your teeth with it. Those who've traveled overseas know what I'm talking about, okay? I mean, it's safe. This is the beautiful thing about you as a body, I'm telling you. The first few points in this message, items, are the things that I watch you do. They are biblical things. And when biblical things are done out in the open with and around one another, it is just like fresh water. And so then the 10-mile creek water here that we're going to get to in a minute, I mean, when I put it in front of me, you can kind of tell it's a little tinged, you know? Not too bad. You know, it's just got a few, like, chemicals and who knows what in it, you know? Which one do you want to drink? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? This water comes and is unfiltered. This water is safe, effective. It's ready right now. Let's think about some of the things that you do from Scripture that are like this. And I'm going to use two passages, familiar passages. You kind of want to put your finger in both or mark one of them so you can flip back and forth. Philippians chapter 4 and Ephesians 4. And there are other passages. I mean, some other ones were even read from the pulpit this morning are really good. But let's just look at these. And to start out, you think about what is like that city water. It's fine. It's healthy. It's good for you. Well, as we look at, is it contaminated? And someone's delivering this kind of words. It's not contaminated. You know it. As soon as I tell you city water, you're like, okay, I can drink that. What kind of things are like that? Well, Philippians 4 would tell us that worship, joyful, thankful, praying people are safe. You know, when you get around them, matter of fact, that comes in your eye gate, your ear gate, and your heart actually gets cleansed, strengthened from being around it. I mean, Philippians 4, verse 4 starts this way. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And when I'm around people like you, I mean, you were just singing, rejoicing. I mean, that was a holy shout of singing in here. And that does not come at me and I'm like, oh man, I hope I have a rotten week. No, it doesn't do that. I take that in. I don't have to go, I wonder if that's okay. No, it's good. And you know it's good because the rejoicing is in the Lord, what He has done. Our confidence is in that. And as we sing it together, spiritual songs, man, it changes us, doesn't it? It protects us. And it does not produce evil out of my mouth. We want to be around people that are that kind of rejoicing people. I mean, it's one of the benefits, and you obviously believe it, you're here today, to be around people that praise like that. Verse 6 of Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, okay, so we're rejoicing always, and in everything, that's an always, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When I'm around people that pray, and the next need comes, and they pray, like your deacons. They pray, and then they say, let's schedule an extra prayer meeting. And they go have an extra prayer meeting. I'm like, that really doesn't cause harm, ever. You know what I mean? It just, whoever's a part of it and alongside of it, it changes us. It cleanses us. And he says, and those people that pray in everything with thanksgiving. In other words, they're not only praying, but they are seeing the world God's way. Because when you get to where you can be thankful, you are agreeing with God, and you see it as good. And when you can do that in everything, that's something, isn't it? When you're around people like that, it just adjusts who we are. We have a few men here this morning from other church in Iowa, part of our leadership training, and some of our men were a part of that yesterday. And you're looking at things, and you're trying to adjust your life, even how you function at church. And it's such a careful thing because we need to pray and be thankful, or else we could be critical and judgmental And that would produce horrible speech in other people and in ourselves, wouldn't it? We'd be people that pray, are thankful in everything that God has said. When I'm around people like that, boy, it changes. The next thing that I pulled out of this passage, just thinking about what people do that is right, that produces good speech, good words, is that he says in Philippians 4, verse 5, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Because the Lord is right there. I am not naturally a reasonable person. At least when I get irritated. Has that ever happened to you? Pastor Jack has an entire notebook of my unreasonableness. I really don't understand why it is good to keep such things. Okay? But at staff meeting from time to time, biweekly or so, from time to time, I say something bombastically, and he goes, he writes that. Now, what are you doing over there? Well, it's just I'm writing that down because that's a very interesting statement. That's his nice way of saying, I don't think that's reasonable, you know. But he's not judgmental, so he's not too in my face. But I know as soon as it's being written down, okay, I was like over the edge again. You know, it was not a Lord at hand, balanced thing that just came flying out of my mouth. And when you're around that, if you don't have a wise person filtering like Pastor Jack, it could steer the whole thing wrong, couldn't it? Reasonableness. It fits with God's presence. That's what reasonableness is. He says, man, when you're around people that are reasonable and peaceful, this passage has the word peace in it multiple times, a peace that passes understanding. It is, you know, it's the will of God and peace. The God of peace, then he says, you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. Remember, the Lord's at hand, God with you. Those are kind of the same thing. And he says, so you're going to be reasonable and peaceful. And reasonable and peaceful people do not produce bad language in the rest of us, do they? It just kind of washes the soul when we do this. And I love being with people that just direct my attention to God. You know, I could be gnarly, working on a project, not quite sure how this goes, and they're like, you know, just direct your attention to God. Oh, how many times I've worked with my father-in-law on practical projects, because he would be much more expert than me on all those. And I'll be working alongside him, and it's not going well. And I know it's not going well, and I'm pretty sure he knows it's not going well. And he'll just stop. I'm like, what is he doing? And he'll be praying. And he is a mechanical wizard, so I mean, you'd think, well, he doesn't have to pray. He knows all this stuff. No. No, he's reasonable. And he's a man of peace. And that's because he knows the Lord is at hand. The Lord is with us. Talk to him. Reasonable, peaceful people. They just produce right speech in us. Right speech is produced in this gospel focus. You know, it's the fresh water that is in this jar. It's the gospel focus. In Ephesians 4, this gospel focus sounds like this. Here you have a prisoner of the Lord, Paul, suffering for the Lord, saying, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Do you ever think about how odd that is? He's in prison. He says, walk like me. Really? You know, I mean, is that your best advertising slogan? You know what I mean? That doesn't sound terribly inviting. He said, walk worthy. I'm telling you, all the way to prison, this gospel is worthy of this. And then he defines what worthy gospel walk is when he says, with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, and all of these done in love. So it's for the purpose of loving God and imitating him because he has loved us and going to the cross for us. Therefore, he finishes and he says, there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. He says, based on this gospel, he says, love, humble, gentle, patience. You know, you just always have to turn this around. I mean, do you want God to come to the end of his patience with you? I don't. I don't even want my wife to come to the end of her patience with me. I never go, honey, quit being so patient. You know, be mean now. Would you, please? I mean, have you ever been asked to do that? No. Because that's not loving. To stop patience. 1 Corinthians says, all these things, bearing with one another, patience. It says a lot of the same things, and it says, and love does not quit. Does not quit what? Does not quit patience. Does not quit being non-rude, does not quit kindness, right? The quality of those things is that they just keep happening. And when you, I watch you practice this in so many ways. We had that gospel focus. I'll tell you what, it just orients each of us who are around each other to produce the same thing. And the fresh water produces fresh water out of us. Lastly, and there are many other things you could put here. I was trying to keep it limited. But these passages, Ephesians 4, it talks about in verse 15 that we should speak the truth in love. And so people that produce fresh water correct and confront each other. This is a natural part of the process, because if we're like, well, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay, the water looks like this, okay? It's not something you should drink. And so to have clean water and that's what it produces, we have to be people to say, whoa, that's out of line. That's outside the boundaries of what God would have us do. That's outside of love. That needs to be corrected. It's actually a loving thing. And it doesn't discourage us if it's done in love, because they're like, yeah, correct that. Walk with God. He loves you. He's graced you. Let's go. You know, it's just, let's build the next piece. And that correction, that speak truth in love, because it's speak truth in love that you might build the body, not harm the body, not beat the body up, but build the body. That's what's behind it. When we have fresh water like this, it looks like the things that I've just said, and it produces good water. It doesn't even need attention. You just take it in and go, yes. However, there's a lot of water like this, dirty water in our life. You say, I don't talk like that. Okay, I'm glad. Are you around anybody else who does? If you leave your pew and look at anybody long enough, some of this is going to come to you, isn't it? And dirty water is dirty water. I'm pretty simple. And it stays, if nothing else is done to it, dirty water. Okay? It does not fix itself. I could sit this water here till next week, and I'm telling you, I'm not drinking it next week either. All right? It's not going to change. That, well, time heals all wounds. Nope, dirty water stays dirty water. Time doesn't fix it. And dirty water, you say, well, I don't do that. And yeah, but when dirty water is thrown at you, corrupt communication comes at you, if you don't do something to it, it is now in you and contaminating you. You say, but I am a rock. Don't be deceived, okay? Some of you are at work, and it just gets poured down your throat, doesn't it? Complaint, gossip, nastiness, foul language, idle babbling, a steady fire hose stream of it coming at you, and you can't get out from it. You have to go to work. You know, it comes. Some of you, unfortunately, live in homes where there's a steady diet of this coming at you, and you must do something to filter these words on the way to the heart and at the heart, or else, I'm telling you, there is no escaping it. Filthy water is going to come out the mouth. So we have to, dirty water, I mean, it has to be filtered. So let's identify dirty water so we know which water to filter, okay? Let's look at bad communication and just a few things from this passage in Ephesians 4:25. He tells us to stop falsehood, lying. It could add with that a whole series of things that are, well, Jude 16 would say it this way. There are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. They're manipulators. They speak to gain advantage. They speak for their own sinful desires. When someone speaks to get what they want, they are manipulating. You can say amen to that because it's true. And when you speak to get what you want, you're manipulating. When you speak for the benefit of the other, now you're loving. There's a big difference. Many times when you speak for the benefit of others, you actually end up with things that are pretty nice in your life. It's true. But that can't be the reason to say it. Or now I'm manipulating. I may be quickly judging. And I'm lying because I've distorted truth. I'm living out of my selfish desire. And any kind of speech, all kinds of speech can go with that. Another passage that I put with this is a passage in Philippians 4 and 2. And in Philippians 2 it says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Children, it said all. You know what all means? All. And that's all it means, okay? So all things without grumbling or disputing. Parents, disciplining your children without complaining. Maybe if this is some of these things are like, oh, really? How? Come back tonight. We're going to have fun working on some parenting, and then the same principles used in mentoring, so it'll apply to everyone who comes. And that, like Pastor Jack said, some workshop rooms for the last 15, 20 minutes of our time tonight so you can really ask some questions and apply some things. He says here, do all things without complaining. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. So worry and complaint have got to go. Worry is saying I don't trust God. I mean, that is dirty water, isn't it? It's got to be put off. He says in Ephesians 4, he says, you know, put off gossip, slander, anger, bitterness, hateful speech, all corrupt communication. Anything tinged at all, just a little bit, with corruption. I was hiking in the Adirondacks one time, and I asked a park ranger, I said, do you drink the water? And he goes, yes. I said, what water? You know, like, do you filter it? No, no. Do you treat it? No, I don't treat it. I said, what water do you drink? Well, I only drink it above X elevation. I'm like, there's not a lot of water up there. That's true. But the water that's up there is safe. You know, that's not corrupted up there. You can drink that. I'm like, so how much corruption before you won't drink? I'm just asking you. How much? I mean, 10 Mile Creek, I mean, the Cornwells live upstream from this. You know, did you corrupt this water, Scott? It's just a little bit. He said, just a little bit. Okay. Where has this been? I mean, kids, do you think I should drink this water? I'm just finding out if you like me or not. Here, you know, a couple of you don't. You're like, drink that stuff, you know. I'm telling you what. We've talked about gossip, slander, anger, bitter, hateful, idle, or just empty, irreverent babble. He says, because it just leads people into ungodliness. He says, stop that. Well, I've decided I'm going to drink this water. I drank some of it last service. I don't think it'll kill me. You think so? But I decided if I'm going to drink this water, I'm going to filter it. Wouldn't you agree? You're just hoping I spill the water on my computer, aren't you? So I decided if I'm going to drink this water, I mean, I am going to filter it. I'm not going to drink it the way it is. I'm going to put it through a process that, unfortunately, is only 99.9% solid. So, but I'm filtering this. I'm thinking, I can drink this water. Would you drink this water? A bunch of you would. You recognize this kind of filter, and you say, oh, yeah, that's good. You can do that. I'd drink this water. If it's been through the filter, it doesn't worry me. It's been cleansed. And you say, but in my house, there's so much dirty water, there's no way I can filter it down to this. Yes, you can. You say, but you don't know where I work. It comes at me in fire hose dosage. It's like the whole Wisconsin River coming in my office. There's no way. I'm telling you what, that filter, it's a pretty good filter. But the filter of God's word and his spirit wielding it is 100% in its purification ability. And you need not fear. I mean, that stuff's coming at you. And I'm telling you, if you don't do something, you will be corrupted by it. But if you do something, if you allow God to use his word to take in what has come in. And this is hard because some of us have been taking it in for so long and not doing anything with it. And so it's like ponds worth of water in our soul that stink. You know what I mean? And they need to be cleansed. And God's word speaks right in these passages about how to filter. So how do we do that? The first part is pretty simple in Ephesians 4. It's like this. Stop it. That's it. Stop it. Okay? That's it. Now, let me apply that a couple ways. If you are an authority, okay, so when I'm in counseling others, and corrupt communication seems to be flying out the mouth, I say, stop it. You say, but this is true in our situation. Yes, but it is nasty, and I need not hear any more. And it is not good for your soul to rehearse it again. Stop. So when we're in authority, we need to take our responsibility gently. But isn't it gentle to keep someone from driving off a cliff? It is. I mean, even if you yanked the wheel, rolled the car three times, it was really kind. You know, sometimes we have to be firm sometimes. Stop. Now, we don't always have authority over others in situations, but I always, before God, am to be an authority of my own soul, correct? And I need to look at myself, and when stuff, and it's from other people, I'm not even doing anything wrong yet, and they are speaking the evil, I need to, as it comes in my ear and eye gate, I need to say, stop! Stop what? Stop thinking about it. Do not reprocess that. Pitch it. If it's all that stuff we've talked about, it's lies, it's slander, it's manipulation. You say, but it really hurts. If you just stop letting it own you. Stop. Now, there are other biblical things we need to do. This is not the only piece, but this is a critical piece. Why would you rehearse what is not lovely, pure, good? You say, but then I'll be naive and be taken advantage by everybody. No, because we hang out with people that do all those things in the first part of the message, and we readily see the people that are doing evil, and we just say, stop, I'm done with that influence. You say, but how do you handle it? They gossiped about you. If they're willing to gossip, they're willing to lie, and God's my defense in that, so I just stop thinking about it. I don't rehearse it. I'm done. But something really bad could come. That's God's problem. I don't need to defend myself. Stop. Stop. One of the key things for me is I have to stop lying. Because I lie about a lot of stuff that comes my... So I do pretty well, you know, the first few gallons of whatnot that comes at me. But then I'm like, I think I have taken enough. Anybody else tell themselves that lie? Oh, man, I've had enough. That's true, but not allowed. I have let them say enough, and so now... I sin with them. And it came out of that lie because God says, bear up under, and it does not quit. And there's some other actions. I'm not trying to oversimplify, but this first couple pieces we have to follow or we'll never do the other action God's called us to correctly. We need to stop. With that stop, we need to be spirit truth guided. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. It needs to be a Godward focus. Saying, what would God do in this? What did Christ do when he was reviled? What did Christ do when people lied about him? What did Christ do with his words of correction? How many times did he not speak when he could have? And he patiently waited. How much sacrifice was Christ willing to do? I need to have a rejoice in the Lord, know he's at hand, understand that we have been called by him, and this is what he's brought to us, and walk worthy of the sacrifice that he's made. That gospel filter, his sacrifice in Ephesians 4, you know, walk worthy of that man. He called you to do this so you can do this. You're his kid to reveal who he is, and he will bring this about. He's given us his spirit. He says, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to you. He says, you have the spirit of God in you. You belong to him. He's in you. And you can reflect that gospel. You have what you need for that. I put two other little filter things in here that I use, just kind of practical filters. You could do them and you'll wear out doing them if you don't have a gospel focus. So that's why I start with gospel focus and God's love for us. But I love the Ephesians 4:29 filter where he says, you need to speak what is necessary, what is good. Two layers of filter, you know, got sand, gravel. Now I'm going to give you the charcoal. and that grace is the hearer. Okay? It has to pass through all three before I'm going to drink it. Okay? So it's got to be necessary. Sometimes I parent out of the necessary, and I forget the grace. I mean, was it necessary? Well, yes. Does your kid need to learn that? Yes. But did he need to know it right then? Was he ready to hear it right then? Was she ready to be graced by that right now? It needs to be, speak what's necessary and speak what's good. That means it has a balanced virtue in how you're going to say it. But it needs to not just be necessary and balanced, but it needs to be given in a way that could really be a gift to the person. Think through that filter. Another filter is the Philippians 4:8 filter, right? Many of you have memorized that filter. You know, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good, right? And then the rest of that list, he says, if it fits all that, think on it. And if you're thinking on those kind of things, that's the kind of stuff that's going to come out your mouth. And it's good. It'll be good. It's worthy of praise. It'll produce peace, actually. Be spirit, truth, guided in this. Lastly, when I think about filtering water, I think about one trip that I took into Boundary Waters with a group of teens. It was quite some time ago, this particular trip. And I don't even remember what lake. Hopefully I marked it in a book. But we were on like our second day, and we had this actual particular filter with us, and we had about 8 people. So you're pumping a lot of Nalgene's full of water in the 85, 90 degree heat, you know, when you're canoeing. We're pumping water several times a day, and we camped on this lake. It was beautiful, caught big old walleye, ate really good, you know. Went out in the middle of the lake because it looked kind of dingy, the lake, you know. So we went out in the middle where there's like less debris, and I even had a pre-filter on the filter head and put it in the water, and Grant Anderson and I, he was the co-leader with me, we're pumping water, all the Nalgene's, and talking about what we need to do with the kids spiritually. And I get through about 3 Nalgene's, and the pump would not pump. And of course, being a man, I just pushed on it harder till I broke the handle. You know, being a man, that's how we solve things, right? And I'm like, what is wrong with this thing? And the kids love that because then they got iodine water the rest of the week because the thing would not pump. And I'm like, that's crazy. It does 200 gallons. And we've done like 20 Nalgene's. It was a brand new filter. How could this happen? What I didn't know until I did some research later is that it was a heavy metals lake. And it just clogged the filter like that. And it was done. Some of you who are in extreme circumstances, you're taking this stuff in and you're filtering, but like it seems like almost immediately you're like, something's wrong. I can't even filter this stuff. How's it happen? And let's put this little piece at the end of the sermon. Sometimes you got to really step back. And what did I do? I came home and I bought a new filter insert, right? Took it all apart, cleansed everything, had to put a new filter. And I mean, you couldn't clean this one. But you have to clean the filter. Sometimes you have to replace the filter. It gets clogged and you're like, I'm not able to process what's coming at me anymore. How do we do that? First, I just said we must debrief ourselves with truth, with the Christ image. I love the Ephesians passage here where it says, you have not so learned Christ. He says these bad things that are happening. He said, this is not Christ. And sometimes I'm like that. I'm filtering the stuff that's coming at me and I'm like, it's not working. And I'm like, man, this is not Christ. I mean, this is not Spirit of God result in my life. What is wrong? And when that happens, you just need to take a step back. And sometimes we get there because truly our life has just been overwhelming. We need to step back, and I would tell you to step back with the body to the first point of the message. Step back with the body and let their worship, their thanksgiving in this setting, in the one-on-one, in ABF, let that flood into you. Let their reasonableness and their peace adjust your mind. Dig into God's word and debrief yourself and say, wait a minute, this is not who Christ has called me to be. This is not who he is. This is not a demonstration of his power. And it's like, it's just clean out the filter. To do this, we have to be honest. We have to put off the lies. We have to say, I'm done. Because so many times when my filter gets clogged and stuff's overwhelming, I say, see, this doesn't work. You ever done that? I don't think Christ's way works in this situation. I mean, I've said those things in my head. And they always, because the Spirit of God's in me, they always sound really wrong because they are. Right? And I'm like, okay, if it's not really working, something's clogged, okay? something's off. And so step back to the body, step back to the word, slow down, and take in who Jesus is, and be ready to stop the lying. He says, you know, to renew your mind, prepare your mind. You need to be ready for what's going to come at you. Sometimes we need some particularly sharp focus. I'd call it a pre-filter, a special pre-filter, so that you can handle unique situations that you find yourself in by way of hurt and attack, so that you can walk in a manner that is worthy. Last thing I'd say to this, and I don't know if it goes in this point or not, but I put it there because I feel like I need to say it, and that is, be very careful what you teach. I don't think I've said that from this pulpit in a long time. And I was studying some of this, and I was thinking about words in James. And so I just throw this in. Be careful. And I'm looking at our teachers first, and I'm one of them. Be careful of your words. May that humility, one Lord, one faith, love of Christ, filter them. And you say, well, phew, I don't teach. Let me just ask you, you sit in ABF and sometimes say anything? I'm not going to anymore. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that's teaching something that would be incorrect to sit there like a post forever. Be careful what you teach. Are you a parent? You're teaching something. I just heard from one of our men at church, beautiful story of an older gentleman at our church who mentored him when he was younger. And as he sees him at church now, I don't even know how many years it was, probably 30 years later plus. And they continue to do church together, being with that man and around him and seeing him worship and sometimes even having personal conversation is just still a cleansing, a direction in his life. Let me tell you, that older man is teaching carefully still, isn't he? And a lot of it without words. Be careful what you teach. Lord, I pray that we'd be people that filter, that we'd build our filters, that we would really put your word in place so that we can process what comes at us. And Lord, may we be just wise to put ourselves with people who care about your word, who care about you and your gospel, who worship you actively, which just would prompt and protect our hearts. Lord, may we be that kind of person to one another right where you've placed us, no matter how small our sphere of influence, that we would just purify right there and make that kind of impact. And that we wouldn't just do this and reserve it for church, but that we would carry this fresh water of your gospel, your peace to our community. They are thirsty and unsatisfied and often contaminated by what they take in. May we offer the beauty and the help of you. In Jesus' name, amen.